Everyone, welcome to Withering Effect episode 56. Today's date is August 2nd, 2020, and I am Duds, and Duds versus none to the rest of the interwebs.
And I'm Jimbo. You may know me as Jimbo Slice 23. And this week, we have a couple guests from the Ripple Effect server. We have Winter Graves and Mad Cat. Welcome to the show, guys.
Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Just want to put out there that for some reason today, me reading a script is not going well. So,
yeah, I think you said you thanked our desks on the last thing you said.
I could have sworn I said guests, but.
Oh, you might have said desk.
New mic is coming, so I will sound like an amazing radio announcer soon, hopefully.
New mic, new desk.
Not a new desk.
New mic, new voice.
See, we're struggling to talk because we're recording on a Sunday afternoon, which is very weird for us. We'll blame that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Winter, Mad Cat, we usually start the show off with things we've done this past week. Is there anything you guys would like to talk about?
I'm playing in a server that I recently made, and I started doing an iron farm. Mm-hmm. Which was a pain and a blessing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dealing with villagers is totally a pain. So that was really fun. I've been playing with my nephew and my wife. Like, I have a server for basically the family. Uh-huh. And yeah, we are all playing and enjoying our time. And the Ripple, I think I've done everything up to getting Netherite. So I'm pretty much set, so nice. The next things are going to be, yeah, just editing videos, whatever I recorded the footage, and start building next things. Pretty much it for this week.
That spawn house looks amazing, by the way, Mad Cat. I really like the way that turned out.
Yeah, it's not finished yet. I have to finish it. But I like playing with those new blobs.
Yeah. Yeah, you use them really well.
Oh, thank you.
Where is Mad Cat Spawn House? Because I don't think I've seen it yet.
It's the Nether House.
Yeah, it's basically a Nether House. That's usually what I do. I play with Nether blocks.
With the twisty vines?
Yes. Okay.
That is. Yeah, it looks awesome.
Where the raids spawn?
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there is raiders inside of there. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, it's like one of the spawn points for the raids. So they spawn inside.
They spawn in your house. So hopefully that doesn't happen when Mad Cat's on and in his house.
Yeah.
Be Ravager in your bedroom.
I didn't know that. I'll have to hand them down next time I log in.
Yeah, you might want to check. What about you, Winter?
Well, yeah, I've been into a lot of things lately. The main one, of course, is the Ripple Effect, because we just launched, and I'm very hyped about that. And I'm just grinding a lot of things in there with my bases, the type of story I want to tell with what I'm doing there, because that is the way I like to play Minecraft, by not just making farms and getting stuff, but trying to give some sort of a lore and story to everything I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's something I've been getting a lot into. And I also have another server I play in, which is Hyacinth Studios, Project Hyacinth. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult name for me to pronounce, but... I am playing there with another person, Vanilla Raccoon. Mm-hmm. And what we are doing there is basically my test ground for data packs, because that server is not, it is vanilla, but it is heavily altered with data packs. There's a bunch of data packs thrown in there to modify several things, like Dragon Fight, like we have Dimensions, we have we can set UHC mode to individual players. A lot of the packs I developed, Vanilla and I developed them together. He just tells me ideas and we talk about them, I make the packs, we install it on the server, and we are using everything there too. And then we publish on CurseForge all the data packs we are making. And also, I have been working a lot into making custom dimensions with the new features that were released. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because I find that very interesting. I actually did a live stream yesterday or Friday. It was Friday about that. So that's just part of everything I have been doing lately.
Custom dimensions has my attention big time because I can't wait for the point where we're going to start seeing multiplayer servers, like you're playing survival in these custom dimensions.
Yes.
Instead of going to someone's base, which is in a biome, it's just in a totally another dimension. I think that's going to be really fun and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's something that I'm really interested in because of that. Now Minecraft is truly infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about that 30 million blocks limit. We have 30 million blocks multiplied by whatever dimensions you have in the world. So it's just gone infinite.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never thought about it like that. Yep.
Yeah, I'm still kind of waiting for more updates for that, to the dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course, because this is like the first step, I feel,
uh-huh.
because there's a lot of things that still need to be implemented for a fully functional feature. This is just like, okay, here's how it's going to work. You can play with that, but wait for what is coming.
Uh-huh.
I feel that is what is going on here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a direction where you're like, okay, this is what I'm predicting to come next from Mojang?
Yes, what I'm predicting is that eventually we're going to have a GUI to select what we want in a dimension. Because right now you have to edit the files.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point you will have like screens to say, I want these blocks in the top layer. I want these blocks in the middle layers. I want this. I want the biome to have rain, not to have rain, and all of those things. You will move sliders and numbers, and at the end you will end up with the generated JSON file that will contain all of those features.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it was in previous versions. If you remember, in 1.12, you had a customized world screen. Where you said how many dungeons you wanted and all of that. So this is what is going to replace that. But first, they are working on the back on the underground, and at the end, they will make the GUI for using it.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can't wait for that. I love custom worlds, and now custom dimensions is going to be just cherry on top.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, Jimbo, what have you done this week?
Yeah, my week, doing a lot of work on the Ripple Effect server. I live there. It's where I live. It's where I'm at.
yeah.
I don't do too much Minecraft outside of that. If I play in Minecraft, I'm on that server. I just got to my base, and I'm starting to do a little bit of construction, but before I do construction, I have a lot of clearing out. If you saw my last episode, I got there, and I have a witch hut, and I have a pillager outpost, and to make it more efficient, I have to clear out a lot of area, so.
Yeah, like one of the biggest circles I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm gonna go, the thing is, like, I was like, okay, I built a mountain last year, and that weighed on me a good bit, barely got it done, and I'm not gonna do that this year. Let's build a 300 block circle instead, into the ground. Okay, that's
wow.
Yeah.
Way against what I wanted to do, but whatever. I have the idea now.
Is it going to bedrock?
Yeah, but the circle's going to kind of dome inwards a little bit. The bedrock circle might be 100.
Okay.
100 diameter circle, 100 block diameter. And then it comes out to like a 301 because, like I said, my base will be in the sky. So I'm not going to need all that, you know, but I have a design in mind, so I will need some bedrock involved. Yeah, it's still a lot of digging, but I got to get started on that, and I kind of did, you know, just clear out some trees and stuff, a little bit of water, but hopefully I can get going there soon. Besides that, I raided a bastion and found Pigstep, and I've been having a lot of fun with that disc, going around the server and playing it for everyone just to see who dances, you know, trying to have like a dance off between everyone. And that's been real comical. I went to Carlock's base. Carlock's more the serious players. And I went there to try to dance with him. And he was just standing there. And I put like a cricket sound in the background. It was pretty funny. I was like, oh, he likes to trade. And I end up leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was more fun. But I like to have a little bit of fun when I'm playing, you know, not just the building aspect. But I'm trying to be... I'm trying to involve a lot more people than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, another thing happened that I didn't get to record. I went to go pig step dance with Bank, or the old host of the show. Mm-hmm. And I went down the West Tunnel, all the way down the West Tunnel. I knew he lived far away, and I thought it was West. And I get to the end, and I come out the portal, and I'm in a snow village. So, immediately... when I step out of this portal, Raid pops up on the top of my screen. I was like, oh my God, holy crap. I started a raid at someone's village. And because I'm building a circle, I got to mess with these pillagers all the time. And apparently I had bad omen that I was unaware of. So yeah, the raid killed all of his villagers, every single one of them. And I felt terrible.
So there's a great question coming up for you in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's that was pretty, I felt terrible, but you know, of course I want to help in any way to help establish more villagers for the server member HB Dev. It was his base. And
that
was about my week. Some good things, some bad things.
Well, let's put on the fact that on stream day yesterday, that was yesterday. Yeah, Dev died like 17 times.
Yep.
So you killed all of his villagers this week, and then he dies 17 times.
Mm-hmm. I gave him like a stack of diamonds, a netherite ingot, a bunch of shulker boxes, and I think he lost most of it in lava on the stream.
Oh, no.
He is like, I better just make diamond armor. And he puts diamond armor on. He goes, I'll put my first netherite pickaxe, and I lost it. He lost it in lava. It was floating there, but he couldn't get to it in time. And I was like, Jesus, the luck.
Man.
The luck of this guy.
It's a rough week.
Yeah, I'll help him out. What about you, Duds? How's your week?
My week hasn't been full of Minecraft. I spent 3 or 4 days testing new microphones. So we had the talk with Wells, and we had some behind-the-scenes talk, and he was mentioning microphone setups and stuff like that. And I've always wanted better quality mic, and I've been putting like sound paneling up, throwing things on the floor, just constantly trying to figure out ways to quit what I call this echo sound everyone's hearing right now. Luckily, I work with a guy who's in a band who has a lot of the equipment Wells was talking about. So I borrowed a bunch of stuff from him this week, and I spent a couple days trying to get everything rigged up, sending all the guys from the Withering Effect files, like, hey, listen to this. Does this sound better? How about this? Does this sound better?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up coming up with a new mic setup that I ordered this week, which says it's going to be delivered tomorrow, but has been sitting on a shipping truck since Friday.
Definitely sounds good.
The mic sounds great if it can get here.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of hoping it would be here for this podcast, but you guys are going to have to wait till next week to hear it.
Yeah, his voice sounds like a mix between Fergie and Jesus.
That's supposed to sound...
That's the weirdest.
Exactly like that. That's what it sounds like.
I'm going to disagree with you, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Absolutely.
Other than that, Minecraft-wise, we had the Ripple stream day, and I concentrated mainly on my spawn townhouse. I really wanted to get it done because I have started the season 3 planning for the base on where I'm going to... Everyone knows I'm building some mountains and a biome. So I'm like, okay, that mountain's first. It's going to house like storage and furnaces and stuff like that. And that one over there will house like, I don't know, a kelp farm or something like that. And I don't want to really like move out of the spawn townhouse, one, because I actually really like my spawn house build.
Yeah.
And two, I don't want to leave something that looks unfinished. So I've really been pushing to finish that. I think as of right now, I'm done, though. So I'm going to be working on the Withering Effect Wither Skull Farm, the storage room for that this next episode, and then probably the episode after will be the first episode at the new base area. Yeah, I'm kind of in a transition week.
See, I put stuff in my spawn town house just to be able to come back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Just and see if there's new things. Like I have a super smelter there, that creeper farm. Even though I'm going to have a witch farm and probably have all the gunpowder I'll need there, you know. But
yeah,
I still have things there I can always come back to because I put a lot of time into that too.
Mm-hmm. And I filled it with chickens.
Did you? What?
So I was AFKing your creeper farm because I obviously have access to the free gunpowder since I help you build it, but I don't like taking gunpowder without at least AFKing there for an hour or so. And these chickens that you have down there were just laying tons of eggs, so I just tossed the eggs around to your base down there. So have fun.
This is the first time I'm finding out about this on the show. I get a bunch of chickens.
I figured you would come home at some point, but...
No, I didn't see that. See, I have that issue, though, too. If I have an egg in my inventory, my first impulse is to throw it. And I had three chickens down there out of one, so it would have probably escalated anyway.
Yeah, I know I spawned at least two.
Great.
Anyways, let's get on to the news so we can ask our guests fun questions.
Okay.
All right, so this week, Mojang released 116.2 pre-release 1. It's a mouthful. But what it does is it affects distortion effects such as nausea and nether portal overlay. Those can now be reduced. At lower levels, the nausea effect is replaced with a green overlay as an alternative to visualization. As someone who gets motion sickness playing this game, these are all good things. Field of view effects shown after speed modifiers are applied can now be reduced. And the fun changes that we're going to see, chains can now be placed in all orientations. I think everybody was asking for that when we saw we were getting chains to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Endermen will no longer place their held blocks onto bedrock blocks. So if somehow Endermen teleport to, I think, above the nether ceiling, I don't know if that's even possible, they're not going to be placing blocks up there for other things to spawn. Piglins now become angry with players who open or destroy a chest in a minecart. Sounds like a bug that should have been fixed.
Yeah, especially if you destroy it.
Villagers now lose their job sites when changing dimension. I guess that means they're completely forget their crafting table or whatever it is. Workstation, that's the word.
Hmm.
Chat delay has been added to the chat settings screen. I'm not really sure what that's going to affect. I've never really seen chat in a multiplayer server go so fast I couldn't read it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe for spammers.
Yeah, probably.
But out of all that, I think we can all agree that the chains are the big part of this pre-release.
That just need one more thing, the cherry on the top for that feature.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get the chains connected to each other. If you're placing chains in an orientation and you place an adjacent chain in another orientation, that should connect and make a cross or a corner or something like that.
Yeah,
I agree with that one.
Yeah,
they don't connect to walls and stairs and stuff like that, so maybe mm-hmm. they should connect to walls and fences.
Yeah, it's gonna be like rails all over again. We're going to place them and
To
connect to things that we don't want and orientations that we don't want. It's going to be a little pain.
Exactly.
But I'm going to guess they're going to fix it somehow.
This one has one more level because chains can also be vertical and rails can't. So it's going to be like a vertical rail.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Well, and they've been messing with the rails this update or whatever. I think they finally got that where a rail will go the orientation now first. It won't try to auto-connect.
Yeah.
Unless it's on, like, the same plane or something. Like, when you're doing the auto-smelter and you have the loading hopper and the fuel hopper and you start to put the tracks down, for some reason, they always wanted to connect if you're facing, like, was it east or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Certain direction.
Yeah, I don't think that happens anymore.
If they fix that, then chains might be not a problem. Mm-hmm. They got the logic down.
We'll see.
Yeah. But Jimbo, you got some bugs.
Yeah, I don't like bugs. But we're going to fix them right now. Bug fixes that stand out. We got bubble column does not affect egg, snowball, ender pearl, splash potion, lingering potion, fireball, and shulker bullets.
Hmm.
Pretty neat. I see some YouTubers playing around with that. Villagers get ejected from minecart when converted to zombie villagers. That's been changed.
Wow.
New nether plants can be picked up without shears and silk touch. So you'll now need those to grab the nether plants. Despite being cold outside of lava, striders do not try to stay in lava. So they will make their way back into lava. I'm sure we've all seen that. Pretty strange.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Villagers don't always try to claim the closest workstation and are sometimes focused on a non-existing one or one out of their reach. Non-existing one or one out of their reach.
That's a good one to be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And large end cities do not generate correctly and get cut off.
All these bug fixes, I got excited when I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are a long time bugs. Especially the NCDs, they have been messed up for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that a while ago.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the villagers are no longer going to get ejected from minecarts if they're in those when they get turned into a zombie villager.
Well, that one was useful.
Yeah?
Yeah, does that happen to you?
Yes. You can basically have like a system where you have the zombie villager in the minecart, and place it in some place when it was converted to a villager, it was automatically ejected, so you can move it to another place. So that was a very useful bug. Having that fixed, now we have to find a different way to do that.
Okay, so you use that bug. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can I use it? Well, he can.
You got the bubble column thing. I've noticed a lot of people are using that for like ender pearls.
Oh, for teleporters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for transportation.
Mm-hmm.
You can also have it suspended in a place where you then blow up TNT and push the pearl to a very far place and get teleported there.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch too many videos, but I saw it was Ilmango had one about the floating pearls and stuff. But I think it's... Like they said, it's like most projectiles are able to do this now. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even potions, like you can do that.
Yep, splash potions.
Yeah, potions.
I wonder if that means arrows. You remember how people were making mm-hmm. the sticky piston arrow fountains?
Arrows already work with bubbles before this.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I didn't know that.
But I think that's kind of it for the news. So we can go ahead and move on to Discord ad this week. This week's Discord ad is from Rebel JC. Go ahead and take it away, Rebel.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Rebel JC, and I would love for you to get involved in our Discord community. Whether it's voting for Block of the Week, sharing your thoughts and opinions on Minecraft, or just chatting with like-minded listeners, the Withering Effect Discord has something for everyone. Join today by following the link in the show notes.
All right. Thanks again, Rebel. It's always great to have our listeners make these ads for us. And the fact that our community is so active in the Discord is also great. If you guys would like to record one, let me, Jimbo, Carl know. We'll hook you up with a script and we'll get you all set up to do an ad for us.
Yep.
Talking about the Discord, we have Block of the Week, where the only place you can vote for it is on the Discord. This week, your following choices were Redstone Lamp, the Anvil, and Fletching Table.
And the winner of Block of the Week this week is... Fletching Table. Congratulations, Fletching Table. And I think it was...
Not even close.
A landslide? Yeah. Fletching Table had 27 votes. The Redstone Lamp had 9 and 6 for the Anvil. But the Fletching Table has a lot of improvement... To be had, I guess you could say.
because it has no functionality.
No, that's one of the things I have down for the fletching table. It can be crafted with 2 flint and 4 oak planks. It's used to turn an unemployed villager into a fletcher. That's pretty much the only functionality it has. And it can be found naturally in villages, but right now there's no right click functionality. So do you have a functionality, Duds? That's the question.
I have a functionality.
Okay.
And I want it. So Fletcher is obviously referencing the fletching on arrows, the little feathers in the back to guide the arrow. But I was thinking, how cool would it be to have custom arrows, maybe using different materials and everything? Maybe instead of having infinity as a bow enchantment, maybe using special materials to craft an arrow that has a loyalty enchantment. So instead of having infinity, you now can shoot one arrow and it'll constantly come back. Granted, that would be a little bit slower, but at the same time, you could then put mending on your bow.
Okay.
Or maybe you could craft an arrow that will allow you to shoot harder, like penetrate and finally get a one-shot kill we've been wanting on armored mobs, but it doesn't go very far. Even if you have a power 5 bow, maybe it only shoots like 30 blocks. So you have that too. We have fireworks arrows for the crossbow. I don't know, maybe a TNT arrow. We have potion tipped arrows, which are really cool, but other than the what's the sight one that allows you to highlight mobs you hit?
Spectral
arrows. I've not seen anyone use a single one of those arrows other than spectral arrows. So I think a better combination of custom arrows might be really cool. And I know Winter was talking earlier, he might have had kind of the same idea. I'll let him cover his idea.
Yeah. I was talking about that my first mod included modifications for archery. One of the things that you could do in a fletching table is make arrows with different materials. For example, flint arrows, stone arrows, iron arrows, diamond arrows. Mm-hmm. That's with the head of the arrow made like that. Mm-hmm. And they will have different properties like how far they travel, how much damage they deal. If they go through armor, they could have piercing properties or not just on the enchantment for the crossbow. Depending on what materials you're using for the fletching, which is the feathers are and string that they are made of, you could have some of these mix of properties, and that takes us to quivers. Because if we have that many arrows in the games, we should have a way to carry them. So we could have a quiver where we could store the different types of arrows, having the ability to choose which arrow to show depending on the position in the quiver, or maybe some sort of a key to switch which arrow you're shooting from the quiver. And that'll be an item that would also save inventory space, because you wouldn't have all the arrows in your inventory, but they will be in the quiver.
Oh,
that's some of the ideas for all of these aspects of the game.
I like that.
The general consensus is more arrows would be more really nice. What about you, Madcat? Do you have anything about a fletching table you might want to coerce Mojang to put in?
Yeah, so I think tipping arrows are kind of a pain to do. There should be a way of doing them quicker. So maybe add a fletching table with a certain property, so you can craft your arrows there with the property already. That will make it easier. Or add any other way of adding or crafting the tipping arrows. I don't think many people use them a lot, because it's just a pain to do it. And I love the idea from Winter. There should be more types of arrows with different types of damages. That will even help the UHC community. Imagine having diamond arrows or diamond-tipped arrows to pierce through armor. That will be great. Like, that will be a game changer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, even on SMPs, after a little while, we've gotten to the point where you have armor, you have backup armor, and now you come across diamonds. What is it? Etho just throws them into lava because you don't need them anymore. I mean, it brings a use for in-game diamonds again to have diamond-tipped arrows.
Using diamonds to craft armor and tools, it's practically a waste when you can get them from villagers in exchange for pumpkins and melons. Since 1.14, I haven't used any diamonds to craft stuff. For me, I just get them from villagers, and all the diamonds are used for economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I was actually, I didn't have any changes in mine, but I did something popped into my head, and I'd like to mention it.
Okay.
I don't know if it'd be involved with the fletching table, but like maybe a heat-seeking arrow, kind of like...
Okay, so if you mix a shulker bullet with an arrow?
Yeah, if you could harvest a shulker bullet, then maybe. But that's the thing. I wouldn't know how you would do it or go about doing that. And that and also maybe change the color of the feathers. Because I shoot a bow in real life, a long bow. I do it with my father-in-law. And they're all unique, all the different feathers. And it'd be cool if you can get like some blue feathers or red feathers. And I mean, you can just dye them, you know. You don't have to get a red bird. The tips are metal. They're all the same tips. But yeah, mainly just the feathers. The shafts can be different colors.
Okay, this will be a great opportunity for them to include ducks in the game. So we can have different feathers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Turkeys and stuff. But a lot of the feathers on the bows are dyed anyway, so you could just use dye in the game.
Yeah.
No. Let's get ducks into the game.
Yeah, ducks. We need ducks.
Yeah.
Just for arrow reasons. Yes, no other purposes.
We want blue ducks. We want orange ducks.
The fletching update. I like that.
Fletching update, yeah.
The duck date. Duck date. I was trying to do a play on words. That didn't work.
Yeah. You tried, Jim, but that's all that matters.
Right. Gave it a good effort.
But that's block of the week. You would think with fletching table not having any functionality, it would be really easy to come up with stuff. And it kind of is in the fact that I think everyone leans to, we want different kinds of arrows, we want different kinds of bows, stuff like that. But when you get deep down into it, it is what it is. It's a fletching table. It's made for different kind of bows and arrows, and maybe that's why it has no functionality right now. Because Mojang knows this, and they don't have a way to put it into the game yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or haven't thought of the proper way to put it into the game yet.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't give it functionality itself, you know, means that they're going through the same issue we are.
I think all of this working stations for villagers probably have a future update coming up. Like the one that you use with Netherite? Mm-hmm. That didn't have any functionality.
Smithing table.
Yeah, that didn't have any functionality, and now it does. So I think if we wait enough, that will be put in. Or we propose something, right? Because they are always listening to the community. So I think putting together some sort of big suggestion with all the what we talk here, that will be helpful for them, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when we had King B-Dogs on, he goes, it may not seem like it, but they're always listening to just about everything, so...
Always taking suggestions, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely worth throwing stuff out there because, yeah, they might take an idea and run with it.
Yeah, that'll be great.
But I think now is the time of the show where you guys get to become the vocal point and we ask you a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Let me get through the live chat that's now being filled with ducks and arrows. I'm going to go with the first question from J-Man. He's very active in the community, and he's kind of got a two-parter. He goes, how do you guys go about creating your own data packs? And is there a favorite data pack or any notable data packs you have created that you would like to talk about more?
Well, how do I go about creating data packs? First, it's basically just whatever comes through my head at said moment, I start working on it, and then just don't stop until I have something done. Recently, I have been getting a lot of into data packs because I started modifying the game with mods. That was my starting point. I started to make mods because before, at some point, when I guess in the version 1.7 of Minecraft, there was a very long period without updates until 1.8, I guess. So the game stayed the same for a long time, and there was a lot of room for modders to modify the games, make a lot of different stuff. So people that were getting bored or tired of vanilla, they were experimenting mods, and it was like a modding paradise at that moment. So then 1.8 came. I think it lasted for a while, but after 1.9, the game started updating very frequently. We started to have very frequent updates. So every time I made a mod, an update came and I had to remake the mod for the new version. A lot of things were changing. So it started to feel overwhelming to be changing the mods every time a major version was released. And at the same time, I was feeling a lot of hype for the new version. I wanted always to be playing in the latest version of the game, and I did not want to be playing in an outdated version just to be playing a mod. So when they start releasing data packs that are basically a vanilla way to modify the game, I enjoyed that a lot because I could make a data pack, and even if a new version came out, it wouldn't throw my job. It would be easier to take advantage of the new features without having to rewrite everything. And I feel that is the way I want to go. I want to go with data packs because it's a more vanilla way to alter the game. I know you have a lot of more power with mods, and I can do that. But I really feel very bad when a new version comes and I have to rewrite stuff to be adapted. So that is why I have been doing a lot of data packs, and whatever I feel I want to do, I try to do it with data packs. And right now with the dimensions, as soon as I first saw what they were doing, I started get involved into that, and now I kind of want to do a bunch of dimensions of different types with that feature.
Yeah.
So that is what comes through my head on how to make a new data pack.
How about you, Madcat?
Let's see. I usually think about altering a little bit the vanilla experience. Not modifying a lot. Just trying to improve whatever we have there with things like the one player sleep, right? What I usually go through is I think of something that I will need in the game, and or that is lacking a lot. One of them is let's use the same example. There's a lot of people playing. Some people AFK in the servers, and you need to sleep to skip the night. And that becomes a problem because an AFK person, you'll have to kick it at the server to be able to sleep. That's why I went through the process of trying to make a data pack that will just make one person sleep and skip through the night. So that's solving one problem that most people have with the game. So what I usually go through is think of something that's lacking, something that is needed, try to implement it, and then think if it's balanced enough in the game. So I'm still playing the vanilla game, right? So I try to think about balancing whatever it is. Let's say if I recently worked on a data pack to teleport people to others. So that feels pretty cheaty, right? And this comes from the problem being I don't have a lot of time to play the game. And if I die, I have to go through all of the places I have been to get back to my items and things like that. So if I'm exploring with somebody, I can request a teleport, and the person will pay for that teleport with XP, with levels. So work, for example. So that's solving a problem that many people will like let's say that work and they have a few hours to play at night or on the weekend. So you don't want to waste your time trying to get back to your items and going through all that pain while the other person waits there, right? So that's the kind of thing that goes through my mind to try to solve a problem and try to make it as balanced as possible. And I will ask the community always if that feels fair, if that feels shitty, and things like that, to try to just improve the quality of life of your game.
Yeah,
that's about it.
It's more of like a demand, you know, people demand something and you try to give it to them, you know, and make sure it's fair.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I just thinking about on my own survival, I had played with some teleportation functions with command blocks. One, because I wanted to stay out of the Nether. I didn't really know what was coming, and I knew if I wanted to reset my Nether or whatever, or just keep playing in the one it was in there now, just stay out as much as possible. And two, running through the Nether thousands of blocks sometimes is a pain and takes time, so I made a deal with myself to make it balanced. Like, hey, if you want a teleportation block to someplace, you need to travel there and back in the overworld without dying, and then you could officially say, hey, I can make a teleportation block for that. So feeling balanced. I had never thought about spending XP as a way to do it, because if you don't have XP, you can't travel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's a really good hand-in-hand giveaway. I really like that idea.
Oh, that's great. For example, if somebody dies in front of you, they drop some XP. So you can use that XP to bring the person back if you don't have anything. Or just like start killing mobs in the meantime to bring the person back. The other thing is to balance it. If you die in the Nether, for example, and the person's on the respawn in the overworld, the price is going to be higher. So I'm always checking for dimensions. If they are in the same dimension, in a different dimension, if they are, I don't know, in the end, and the other person's in the Nether, that means two times the effort to get there, right? So the price goes really high. That's basically how I plan to balance all that.
Awesome.
Yeah, balance is definitely the key word. You know, each data pack needs some kind of balance. The end is somewhere where you really need to teleport to, because you could always get lost in the end, thousands of blocks out, and it's easy to die there. It's definitely easy to die there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But then again, if you die in the void, is there really any reason to go back?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I don't want to teleport there.
That was the end.
If you're playing with somebody, I think, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I was just thinking, when me and Jimbo were in raiding, he ended up dying in the void, so there was no point in me bringing him back to me.
Oh, yeah.
But no, if you're doing an in-city together, and say someone falls out of the building and their elytra doesn't deploy, or they may not have one yet, and they splat on the ground, instead of having to work their way back to you just make one of those too tall Enderman thing and just start killing Enderman to get some XP, and you can bring them back. I mean, that saves hours of work.
Exactly. That's exactly.
All right. We'll get on to the next question from IncrediMike from the Discord. If you're, in your opinion and experiences, what do players expect from survival servers in 1.16? And what are the essential data packs for a new survival server? For instance, one person sleep, achievements, vanilla tweaks, stuff like that.
I think you, Matcat, had a lot of those kind of resources.
Yeah, that's true. So let's see. Essentials, yeah, for the essentials part, I think, yeah, that's basically what I try to work with. I just try to make something that most people use or should have on their servers, in my opinion, or based on many people's opinion. Survival, let's see. I don't know. I think in 1.16 things are easier for whatever reason. I didn't play survival in maybe 2 years or a year, something like that. And I recently came back and I started playing. And at the beginning, I struggled with, I don't know, surviving. But once you get over the lack of armor, things like that, now then when you have resources, then it becomes easier. You can get a lot of stuff in farm. And once you get to Netherite, there's you just start building, right? I think they focus the game a lot on trying to get resources in funny ways, which kind of took some of the technical players I don't know, that they didn't like a lot that things were easier now, I feel. And playing that kind of game, it became not very satisfying. I think, and they mentioned, I think, Mojang, that they wanted to focus more on the building and exploring and all that. So I think they have achieved that, but the price is technical players kind of step back a little. Like, yeah, I've done, I reached everything I needed real quick, and now what?
Right.
So that is basically what I think about 1.16 for now. Because I used to play the technical game a lot, and but I guess it's now that the game is trying to make you explore more, I think it's worth doing it too. But there is a lot to do now.
There's one data pack I want to jump in and mention, other than the obvious single player sleep, and then now you have the vanilla tweaks, the armor pack. You guys have gone ahead and done the invisible item frames for us. I'm not sure which one of you guys came up with it, but the clay balls from Silverfish.
Oh, well, that was a request.
I know it was a request, but to me, I think that one should be on the essentials list just because the renewable clay balls from a mob that is basically worthless is awesome.
Yeah.
You have a spawner for it, and what does everyone do? They immediately break that spawner because it's worthless. Now you've given a purpose to said mob.
Now you can break the end portal, keep the spawner.
Yeah, that was a request from Croc. So I implemented that loot table for the silverfish.
Mm-hmm.
And because he apparently has a big project that involves a lot of clay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good way to get it with the cost. And the cost is making the spawner out of the making the grinder out of the spawner and collecting all of the drops. The same way you make a skeleton spawner, etc. So it is not just free clay balls. You have to work for them and farm them and that. And about the invisible item frames, I also made that little utility. Then I realized that the Armor Stand Status book has a feature for that. But I think the one I did is a little bit easier, because all you got to do is rename a glass pane invisible and place it in the item frame. And it consumes the glass pane, so it also has a cost to do it. It is not free. And you can specify which item frame you want to make invisible. Using the book, it is a little more difficult because you have to be standing closer to the item frame you want to make invisible. Sometimes it makes invisible another item frame you didn't want to that. And so this one is a little bit easier. So those two features were done specifically for the ripple effect. It is not an individual data pack you can't download.
It's nice having guys like you to do that for us, definitely.
the fact that we can just be like, hey guys, we want this on the server this season, you're like, okay, hang on,
done.
Try to think about it. Yeah, also the player heads on zombie, it's another feature specifically for the ripple effect.
And the player head drop in general, that's one of my favorite data packs to put on a survival server.
Yeah, that's a vanilla tweak. And yes, that is so much fun because you're hunting for the heads of the mobs.
Gives you another thing to do in the game besides building in redstone and stuff. You can do a little hunt, you know, try to collect all the game or all the heads.
And that combined with the armor stand status, it's much better because you can make fun things with it. Place it on the armor stands, mm-hmm. make some characters to bring life to your builds and all of that.
I love to play your heads on zombies because it tells you where caves that you haven't explored are.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was going to bring into. That's how I ended up. Yeah, I ended up lighting up underneath my base all last season just based on the there's another stupid name under me, and I would dig down, find the cave, and light it up.
Yeah, very useful.
I noticed this season we have like pigmen and skeletons with the heads too, and they even have names.
I literally saw my first skeleton with a head today. I was coming back from the Wither Skeleton Farm, and I went through a Soul Sand biome, and sure enough, there's a skeleton with a head on. I thought it was another player. I walked up to it to see another player, you know, pop up maybe in the back of the scene they're recording, just play fun, and it turns around and shoots me because it's a skeleton, not a player. And I was just like, oh, what the heck?
Yeah, I'm going a little bit more further with that. And for the other mobs, I'm trying to add funny names. For example, the pigmen, the zombie pigmen, which are now zombified piglins, they mm-hmm. spawn with Sin's head, and their name is Don't Steal My Gold. So just as a hidden reference to things in the past from the players and the ripple effect. And mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the name on the wither skeletons is Don't Cut My Head. So things like that, little funny things I'm adding to the names.
I saw a duck chicken duck head on a pigman. It was like pig something pig or something. It was really funny. I got a kick out of that. I couldn't remember the whole name of it though.
Small little puns like that, so if they spawn on someone's video, they can trigger a reaction or something.
Yeah, it's the best part about playing on a server is looking at other people's videos and seeing random things like that, and you're like, oh, I wonder when that's going to happen to me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but let's hop into another question from Link, and this is for both Mad Cat and Winter, and they ask, do you, like Spider-Man, feel a great sense of responsibility with your great powers to create and provide for the community?
Well, yes.
Yes.
And I have been feeling that a lot. When I first decided to go into modding, inspired by the experience of watching broadcasters play modded Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to make my first mods like that. But back then, a long time ago, when I first started watching Iskall 85 videos in YouTube, he was very small at the moment. It was before, mm-hmm. it was even before he met Rendog. It was very fun because I discovered Rendog and Iskall separately, and they ended up together at some point. But his channel was starting to grow. He was a very small channel. Then I tweeted at him, mentioning, "Hey, do you want some special mod for your pack?" Because at the time he was developing a mod pack called Survival Stories, and he immediately mm-hmm. replied with some. Interested in that, and we got together working on ways to have his mod pack a bit different than the others that were in the moment there. So we started to make a lot of work together. I was developing mods for him, he was making the mod packs and publishing on his channel. We got a very good response from that. So a lot of my mods were becoming very popular because of that, because he was showcasing them, including them in his mod packs and all of that. But then it got at some point where it was very overwhelming to try to maintain those mods, because people were demanding them and Minecraft versions were coming out. And right now I'm very delayed in upgrading a lot of those mods to the most recent versions. And I really feel a responsibility to do it, but there's just not enough time for that because it's a lot of work. And I have been trying to do it, but I feel a high responsibility of still maintaining that alive and fresh. So I am still doing that, but it's a hard work to have that done. And I do feel that I need to do it because people demand that and they want to be playing with that. And that's a big part of my responsibility I feel right now.
There's also the about the maintaining things, the responsibility if let's say your pack it's breaking something, you don't want that, like if it gets attention and a lot of people is downloading it and something is wrong with it and or is causing something, then you gotta fix that, or better than that, you have to kind of test a lot before releasing anything.
Yes,
because you can break people's experiences, and modding is harder because there's a lot of other modifications that are not compatible to with what you're doing, or if you depend on something else, have some dependency on permissions or something, then the experience breaks or makes it harder to deploy that in your server. So it's a lot. In my case, since it goes to vanilla, I can test it in vanilla. It's easier to do that. But when people start using it in not so heavy modded servers like PaperMC, things like that, they replace commands. Even the slash reload command, for example, it's not the same. It reloads the whole thing, and sometimes servers break because they have other mods. And there's a vanilla way, for example, the vanilla reload, to use that, you need to do slash Minecraft colon reload, which is using the vanilla reload command. And you kind of have to go through all of that, experience all of that to at least help people understand that there are other things in play, not only what you're doing. Another thing I did, for example, was I changed the game rule to not show the command feedback to the players to hide some trigger that I put. And a lot of people thought that their servers were broken because that was turned off and they couldn't turn it back on. And they got really confused and at some point mad because because I did that and they didn't know that was running. And in the end, I decided to any game rule related thing, just not put it in there. That could make somebody think that something's wrong. And just explain that if you want to hide this, that just turn this off. Or there was a lot of things that, for example, people had their daylight cycle or their weather off, and that will affect the one player sleep, for example. So in the end, I had to add like a lot of checks to see if that rule is on, and put an action in the data pack to ignore certain things or go through some things to make it work. Just hard to put something out there. It's going to be used for in so many systems, and you don't know exactly what in the end is going to be. So you have to be very responsible. You have to test a lot. It's a bit of a pain. If you don't have a team, you're only you, it's very intense sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. But before I go on to the next question, I just want to ask, is it, when it updates to a new version, like 1.16, do you have to start from scratch, or is there a little bit you can go off of from the previous?
So not so much. If the you have to be very aware of the change logs, and especially the technical changes and the command things. If they change anything, like for example, in Minecraft 1.13, I think they changed the entire ID system, so everything was breaking from there. They don't do changes like that now, because they basically rebuild the whole system. Next versions are not going to be as impacted. So most things since 1.13, I have still data packs that work from 1.13 all the way to 1.16. And
okay,
yeah, you just have to see if any of what you're using, any of the commands that you're using or features have changed over time.
Yeah, the good thing about data packs right now is that I feel exactly that from 1.13 on, where they change everything, all the features that have come out, it's more additions rather than changes. So there are sometimes some changes to consider. For example, the latest one I remember is about the heads that the UUID changed. But nothing happens if you leave the other one, the previous one. Only if you place the heads and you pick them back up, they lose some data, but it doesn't break your data pack. So the changes they are doing, they are trying to, I feel they are trying not to break data packs mm-hmm. that were made before, unless they have to do it for some reason. In 1.13, they did it because they were creating how data packs were going to work. Before, we didn't have data packs, so we had command blocks. And now with data packs, it's much, you can do much more with them. Instead of using command blocks in the world with some functions, mm-hmm. Data packs do a lot now without the need for that. So yes, new updates don't necessarily break data packs that exist. With mods, it's a different story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know too much about it or where it went, you know, so it's good to know. You know, a lot of people are clueless on that, myself included.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be the last question. I know we're a little bit behind, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, let's go ahead and skip High Hope's question. We're going to answer that in the post show.
Yeah, I was going to use the Twitter question since it was asked on...
Yeah.
Asked on Twitter, you might want to hear it. Madcat, you asked, you know, the community if anyone had a question, and we pulled up one from Celestian. I think that's the right pronouncement. They asked, what do you think about being able to add custom biomes with data packs, and what would you like to see in the future updates for data packs?
Celestian, I think, is mod in the Majira. And the Jira for Mojang. So, yeah, let's see. Custom biomes. I think they are starting to add something about it. You can, in dimensions, you can replace vanilla biomes or at least certain properties.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's still being worked on. I think we need to wait a lot of time for... a truly customizable experience. They are also working on custom structures. You know that any structure like, I don't know, the desert temples or the end cities and things like that, they have their own structure files. And you could make your own and save it into a structure file. and spawn it randomly in the world. So that is what I thought the update for dimensions and generation was going to be. I think it's planned because they mentioned something about it. The expectation is, there will be a fully customizable world generation where you can change anything you want in the way you want. And that is, I think I'm waiting for that for now. I've learned all the aspects about creating new dimensions in world generation, but I think there's still a lot to wait. There's still a lot to work to be done.
About you, Winter, do you have a...
Well, as we have been talking, and as you could see in the latest stream I was making for that, yes, it is still new. There's a bunch of things to improve and to come, but right now we have enough stuff to do interesting and fun things with it. You can't use custom blocks yet. You can't really use your custom structures that you store with MBD data, but you can alter a lot what currently can be generated in a world. You can change the sky color, the grass color. You can change what structures spawn in a biome, what block generates on top, what block generates underwater. What mobs spawn, what is the mob cap of the dimension, what is the capacity of the mobs that spawn there. So you can mix a lot of these things to make really cool and crazy things in the dimension you're creating, or in the biome you're creating, because you can even use these biomes in a new world generation in the overworld. So a lot of things that you can still do with this, but you have to know how to edit the JSON files that come with all of these features. And I feel one of the things that we would need that they could make right now, it's a way to go to those dimensions, because currently you can create the dimension, but the only way you can go there is with a command to teleport you there. I think it would be really interesting if we were able, with the data packs, create portals that take you there. I don't know if you remember the snapshot they did this year for the Fool's Day, where they have all of these crazy dimensions when you threw a book at a portal and took you there. So I got curious about that. So I copied the data inside the block of those custom portals for that dimension. And actually, the portal on that version of the game is called Minecraft : Nether Portal, not Nether Portal. So it was a custom block made for that snapshot, and it had an interesting data inside where you could set what dimension it will take you. And that functionality can be used to make a portal and take you to these custom dimensions we are creating with these data packs. So that would like a close a circle on this instance of that. And then it has a lot to be done in the future, like the GUI you can use for that, and et cetera. No? And so that's basically what I think about it. And we're also testing this in the Project Hyacinth server.
Oh, cool.
So we can test the dimensions there and see how they how they are on the server, how useful they are. For example, I created a mining dimension for us on that server, where we can just go for mine gravel, sand, and a bunch of things, so we don't destroy or try to look for mountains or deserts on the overworld. We can just go to the dimension and mine all the resources there. Make quarries and all of that crazy things.
Yeah, and you'd still have to mine it. You know, it's not just slash give. You know, you still have to work for it and get it, to be fair.
Yeah, you still have to mine it, maybe break your tools and stuff, and you can die there because there are mobs spawning. It's so it is like that.
All right, real quick before we get out of here, We have a question from Gryffindor. It is specifically for Mad Cat, and it says, what has been the hardest data pack you have made?
Let's see. I think there was one that I never released. It was a vein miner, and it worked in Minecraft 1.13, I think. I had to make a function for every block I want to personalize, because before there was no Ludin tables for blocks. I basically wrote code to generate these files, like a function for each block that I want to get drops or not, depending on what tool I'm using. It was a lot of coding. It was fun. It was fun to do. I didn't release it because it was very OP. And if you had the highest level of the tool to vein mine, you will create a lot of blocks, entities. So your inventory will fill up really, really quick. You'll create a lot of blocks. And in vanilla, that creates a lot of entities and that lacks servers. So I didn't want it to be responsible for crashing people's server, because it was a very powerful tool. That comes again with with great power comes great responsibility. I didn't want it to give a lot of power to people because you don't know what's going to happen, right?
For sure.
I believe that is one of the hardest ones. Eventually, what happened is Mojang decided to remove a feature that apparently was a bug to modify the data of the player. So I was updating durability on the pickaxes, let's say. And I was basically, you could remove a lot of blocks, but you will pay with a lot of durability. That was the balance, right? And they decided to that you cannot change anything on the player data, so you couldn't modify the tool. Now there is like very hacky ways of doing it that I don't want to go through.
Okay.
And also now you have Ludin tables for blocks, so that is now it's possible in a different way, but it's a lot to do, but it was really fun to do. Another thing, I think it was I did a data pack or all the command stuff for map. It was a Parker map, and I made a whole system for checkpoints and respawns and things like that, and animations on the checkpoints where the checkpoints are going to be, things like that. That was the most fun thing I have ever done. It was challenging in the sense that I had to like update scores, best times, things like that, and put it in certain places. That was another one that's still not out, but it's going to be out soon.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Those two, I will say, but those are really fun and challenging things to do. I gotta say,
awesome. Well, I think that's going to do it for the show today, guys. But before I let Jimbo read us out, I want to say a huge thank you to all of our patrons who are supporting our show. Our milk level patrons are Omni, Croc, Obi, Stone Figure, the official CCL, Viperous, Tuna, and YDYD. If you too would like to get access to the exclusive benefits and hours of extra content each month, please consider joining us at patreon.com/thewitheringeffect.
And if you like this show, you could share it with all your friends and on social media. If you listen on Spotify, follow us. Or if you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave us a nice review. Doing any of these really helps the show reach more listeners. If you would like to get in contact with us, send an email to podcast@thewitheringeffect.com. Tweet us, leave a voice message, or join our Discord, where you can have a chat with everyone who works on the show and fellow listeners. All the links will be in the show notes.
This show has been brought to you by Jimbo and myself, but also our digital producer, Carl. He helps make sure the show ends up where it should be. The amazing music you hear in the intro and outro was created by the one and only Decoy. And let's give a special thanks to our guests, Mad Cat and Winter Graves.
Thanks for being here, guys.
everyone's social media info can be found down in the show notes. And you guys have been awesome, like always. Also, we just hit 30,000 listens.
Yeah.
Thank you guys very much.
Woohoo!
Thanks, guys.
We're going to throw that in there because we hit that today.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
As always, guys, thank you so much for getting withered with us. You should probably go drink your milk now. Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.